Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Show. I'm Gwendolyn Berry. I am here with my co-hosts, Jack Jodell and F. Wayne Johnson. Before we start today's show, I have something to say, which in no way really reflects any of my co-hosts. They have their own opinion. But every show that I begin on Here Be Monsters, for going forward until it ceases, I will be making this statement publicly about the bombing of countries by the U.S. military-industrial complex and the administration that calls itself the leadership of this country right now. They're bombing thousands of innocents. Now, I in no way support the terrorist atrocities that are happening right now over there. In no way do I support that. But I want to make it plain that I do not support any of the bombing that is going on by this country. I disavow it. And I also sincerely apologize to the peoples of the Middle East that are suffering under the bombing of this country. And I will state this again. It in no way implies anything of my co-hosts at this point. I want to play for you a piece that I witnessed on television this week. I'm very proud of this lady for what she had to say and how she stands up and holds her integrity through everything. So if you'll give a second here and listen in.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely scary. You know, it's scary to me to think that when I had my last baby 12 years ago, we were just getting into war, and she was one, and now I have another one-year-old. And we've just bombed another country. Mm-hmm. And even though it doesn't say so on the news, we went to war yesterday in America against another country in the Mideast. And to me, no matter what, that's wrong. Because you don't fight violence with violence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we can put it up again, but what struck me, what I felt when I saw President Obama, it's such a brutal job. He looks like he's aging by the second.
Yeah.
He's a really fit guy. Yeah. He's young. Yeah. And this job ages you so much. Yeah. So what I feel is we now have had two presidents in a row who agree on nothing. Yet both of them think that the threat to our country is so dire that they've done the exact same thing 12 years apart.
Yeah.
So I feel like I don't know who would want this job. Because I don't think any president, I think they spend the rest of their lives, you know, with this knowledge that they've taken a country to war. And in this country, we don't all go to war, right? The military families go to war.
That's right.
Those moms and dads of soldiers, men and women, the wives, the kids, they go years without seeing their parents. The deployments are endless.
And, you know, my father and my uncle served in World War II and the Korean War. And my father
would... Did they talk about it?
They would not talk about it. It was so traumatizing to them, and they loved America.
Their whole life, right?
Their whole life, they wouldn't talk about it, you know? And I also wanted to make comment about the 100 Americans that went over there to fight for them. That's hurtful to me. That's hurtful to me as an American. It's also hurtful to me as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's craziness, and it hurts.
And I always think that I can't get out of my head the fact that Syria has a lot of oil. A lot of oil. Not a lot of oil in Rwanda or the Congo. Atrocities there all the time. I don't know why.
On Americans?
I think one of the things that tends to happen is as soon as some stuff starts going down with Americans, we say, you know, no more. We don't want to do it anymore. And I don't think anybody goes to war gleefully.
I don't think there's a financial agenda attached to it.
There may be. I don't know if this particular thing is what...
It's too horrible.
I don't know if that's what this is. I know that ISIS is pissing him off and he's sick of it. And so,
right.
And not just for us. I think, you know, once if we get out and we're gone, the Middle East still has to deal with all these people. And I think they don't want to deal with them either. And they're saying, look, we'll help you.
Which is why they didn't, right.
We'll help you. Something's going on.
And this is historic. I mean, there are five Arab nations standing by our side as part of this coalition fighting this war with us. And there is no comfort at a time of war. It's
yeah.
horrible. It's terrifying. But that's a very good development.
The hell it is.
Gwen, have no fear. I'm with you 100% on that. This is really preposterous when you think of it. First of all, this is going to be another war that is going to be termed something else, but in reality it's a war. And Congress just let Obama go ahead and decide that that's what we're going to do. And all of a sudden the bombs started flying. And it's going to escalate into something. You can bet on that. But the sad thing is, Congress did a lot of – this is the most worthless Congress. It seems like Congress to Congress, they keep getting more worthless. They
you
did
know.
Absolutely nothing of any value this past term. They went home for break, another one of their incessant breaks, without deciding anything about this war, without getting an approval from Obama to do it, without making a declaration of war. Without raising the minimum wage, without doing anything, these guys are absolutely worthless. And now Obama's just going to take it and have us go to war again. It's insane.
Jack, it's Obama that made this choice and said,
"Oh yeah, exactly."
You know, as commander in chief, I say what goes on this, and he can do
oh, yeah.
that.
Absolutely.
And it's wrong because, as Rosie O'Donnell said, violence does not stop violence. It only makes more. And it's
exactly.
called war. And nobody is saying that either.
In the first place, ISIL, ISIS, they are not directing their energy against us, at least not at this point. And we're just meddling again just to sell military hardware, just to make sure that the military contractors are getting their bellies full with tax dollars that, unfortunately, taxpayers have to support this nonsense.
Well, Jack, I like to agree with that last statement and continue on with that thought of American taxpayers funding all of this
mm-hmm.
because we have spent how many billions of dollars supposedly training that Iraqi army and to be able to protect themselves. And the first time this ragtag, let's put together an army of misfits.
Yeah.
They're coming out of Syria.
20 or 30,000 or whatever it is.
Right. They threw down their weapons, took off it, were running down the streets in their underwear because they just ripped off their uniforms
yep.
when ISIS army pulled in.
So much for our military training, huh?
Exactly. Well, again, the taxpayers' money that was spent. And like, I guess it was Rosie O'Donnell who made the statement was, you know, when it's all said and done, they have to deal with it. They're not dealing with it. And all we are doing is enabling that much more incompetence or apathy.
And the amount of innocents that are getting killed as a result of these actions is just, you know, it's a war crime. It really is. Let's call it what it is.
This is, you know, like Ms. O'Donnell had to say, this is attached to financial gain.
You bet.
And there's too much here that has been, there's a terrific piece that's been published today over at that terrific site, The Intercept, by Glenn Greenwald.
Uh-huh.
And, Mutsara Hussain, that talks about these the Corazon group that we've placed the nucleus of blame onto, the reason for doing this bombing, beginning this bombing campaign. And you know what it feels like to me? It feels like what happened before Pinochet. It feels to me as though we are puppeting, and it's not us who are the grand masters. We're just trying to keep our oil commodities intact.
Or oh, yeah.
More. What is going on here, it feels like, is a strategic interplay between Middle Eastern chieftains and people in certain governments, and I don't hesitate to mention the Saudis or even the new Egyptian government in collusion with the United States and the UK. And the UK and the United States are the largest imperialist nations on the planet.
You bet.
And they are, and one other thing I'd like to say before we go any further is the correct acronym for this is ISIL. It's not ISIS. And I say it from a personal bias, yes, because the name of my business and part of my own philosophy has something to do with the myths of culture. And the name of my business is Daughters of ISIS. ISIS
right.
is the mother goddess and deity of ancient Egyptian pantheons. It is, there's an energy behind all words. And I think it's important for people to realize that there's a lot of misdirection and abuse going on here informationally. And
well, first of all, and at the very even if you call it ISIS, it's completely different. It has nothing. ISIS is what Iraq, Syria, and whatever the hell else it is. It has nothing to do with mythology mythology figures.
Yeah, it just simply stood for the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria.
That's right, exactly.
Or Syria, Syria. Yeah, I got the letters inverted there, but that's what it is.
Right, exactly.
The Islamic State of Iraq.
That's what
and Syria,
it was, right? Okay.
ISIS.
Right.
And the thing is the ISIS don't even call themselves ISIS. They have another whole name that they go by, which is in Arabic, and I couldn't pronounce it.
Well, John Kerry and Obama can't agree on what to call it.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know, Mr. Obama is the only one that's been correctly saying ISIL
for the last few months.
And I have a question for you guys. If you've been watching what's been going on in the last 48 hours in Hong Kong?
Oh, yes. Love it, love it, love it. And the thing is, it's not, and this is the encouraging thing, it's not just going on in Hong Kong. It's just, we just had it last week in New York. It was, again, this week, in the past week here with London. The whole global community, concerned citizens across the global planet are saying, enough of this corrupted bullcrap of no global China, you know, funded by the Koch brothers and all those with the hydrocarbon industry.
Yeah,
we
right.
need to get the truth out, and this is the truth.
Right. Yeah, you can't bullshit everybody forever, and people are wising up very quickly, and that's a good thing. And
right.
It's amazing. People's, you know, our media is so inferior compared to all the rest of the world. I mean, this corporate-owned bullshit, we get nothing but withheld news and tainted news and absolute bullshit coming out of all the major news networks. And they're all six of them are owned, they're corporately owned. And the little tiny, all we're left to get our news, our real news, from the real news givers and the suppliers,
right.
the people that aren't in that category, the people that tell the truth, that really investigate and really do good investigative journalism. And in that case, I'm speaking about Amy Goodman, Tom Hartman, RTTV, Roku. There's a bunch of acronym TV. There's all kinds of good ones out there, but they don't have the sway or the penetration into American households that CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox, God, that horrible Fox, MSNBC, or any of those guys do. And so,
Jack,
you know, we're left with nothing but bullshit.
Right,
well,
Jack. I first saw that. Go ahead, Gwen.
There are places to go, gentlemen, and you've named quite a few. The social networks are always alive with whatever's going on. I guess Twitter's the best place to go with what's going on in the moment. But Naomi Klein, who was front and center.
Brand new book.
Yeah, she's written quite a piece. I think it's as formative and as influencing as the shock doctrine has been.
Oh, yeah.
It's called This Changes Everything, Climate Versus Capitalism.
Right.
And what she does is she illustrates and puts forth the evidence of how capitalism is exploiting the climate and continues to be the number one catalyst for the destruction of the planet at this point.
Right.
And she's correct. She's very correct.
She's nailed it like she always does. And she, the Koch brothers and all these guys, there's pawns in this horrible game, and they're perpetrating all this crap, and they're actually destroying the planet.
Well, and one of the favorite conservative arguments is that it would cost too much, take too long.
Turn
over to a different economy based on green energy and equanimity for the people of all nations.
Mm-hmm,
The point is that the reports out of all the think tanks, the bigger think tanks these days say, well, what they've been saying is wrong. It won't take that much. It's going to happen inevitably.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not in time or not is another charge, but it will inevitably happen because the sustainability of the profiteering that's going on right now is just, it's not able to be done.
Well, Gwen, let me interject here. We just saw some of the greatest scientific advances in a decade of India, given the example of getting a satellite now to orbit Mars. And they did it at a fraction of cost that we're doing in this country.
Mm.
There's very good engineers. The best engineering school is IIT, Indian Institute of Technology. Those who can't make it into there come to this country to come to MIT. And
India
decides to take and focus their scientific knowledge that they have and resources into converting that whole largest democracy in Asia to green energy, the United States will be sucking hind tent on the technological side, and we will be losing out on this whole new market that will take over the whole global market.
We're too busy showering the powers that are existing right now in this country and pampering them and catering to their wishes to do anything really bold and revolutionary. They want it safe. They want to play it safe. They want to profit off every aspect of everything. And, it's not working, period. It's just not working. And, people cannot become complacent. We have an election coming up, and yes, a lot of it is Tweedledee and Tweedledum, but I wanted to say one other thing about the nation of India. It produced a great lady who has been a resident of this country for many years now, and who actually won election to the Seattle, Washington City Council last fall. Astoundingly beating, everybody assumed would be just another Democrat, because the city's completely run by Democrats with the exception of this wonderful lady. I saw her on Free Speech TV doing an address this past week, and she is absolutely incredible. She's from India, a native of India, but she's lived in Seattle for many years. And one of her degrees is in economics, so she knows her stuff. And another thing that she has begun by herself, and I'm sure with other help too, but she began a movement now that's really starting to take hold. It's called 15 Now. And what it is, it's a movement that they achieve some electoral success in one of the adjacent cities next to Seattle. What it does is it decrees that anybody doing business in that city has to pay a livable minimum wage to its employees of $15 per hour. And she was able to get it passed there. There are branches shooting up everywhere. There's a big branch shooting up in L.A., and in other cities as well, and she's urging it to go nationwide and globally. She's sick of exploitation, and you know what? She's a socialist. She was elected with Socialist Alliance, and they elected her to represent a certain ward or district in the city of Seattle, and she has been an incredibly good, positive, new, bold force who is not afraid to create new ideas and to do new things that are beneficial to the people of the country and especially the working people. And I hope to have her on with us down the line here. Her name is it's an Indian
Kushama.
Name.
Her name is Kushama Sawant, and she was elected. She was elected to the Seattle City Council in, in last year.
Yeah, in November last year. And Kashama Shawant, she's incredible, and she's only 41 years old. So she's not a spring chicken, but she's not elderly either. And she's got all the vibrancy of youth, man. You see her talk, and you think, my God, she's incredible. You know, she is absolutely something else, and I want to get her on our show here. I'm going to work real hard to do it before the election. So I want to implore people, you've got to vote this year. You've got to keep the reactionary Tea Party goofballs from reassuming total control and from gaining control of the Senate. And little by little, we got to chip away at these complacent, wimpy, middle-of-the-road, absolutely lifeless Democrats, just like she did in Seattle. They assumed immediately that it'd be another Democrat elected, but it didn't happen.
Well, and the other thing here, Jack, is to focus back on, you know, what's really important for people to vote about and to be aware of is community sustainability. What's going
exactly.
on in your community, and who are the candidates there, and what is the truth there? Unfortunately, in most communities, it's all about money, and the only way we're going to get any kind of real change in government is to take the money out of it.
Out of it.
Out of
it. Very true.
Out of the election.
I was going to say, I'd like to elaborate a little bit on what Jack just touched base on about the you come into our town here, in our city, in our ward, you're going to paying something to someone who's going to earn enough money to be able to pay rent, feed their family, clothe themselves, et cetera, the $15 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
When I was just home here a couple of weeks ago, there was obviously a Latino immigrant. She had two kids, and I'm sure her husband worked at a local chicken industry, chicken processing plant, which has historically been the most miserable work, the most lowest pay, and you know, all those working there are on some sort of food stamp type.
Good point.
Absolutely. And now, you know, I'm not bashing the immigrants. Not at all. I welcome them. I think they're great lifeblood and a new infusion to this country. But the American taxpayer is subsidizing through food care, food stamps and other type of social welfare.
Medicaid.
Safety nets. The employment manufacturing aspect of the meatpacking industry. We are subsidizing their workforce on our tax dollars.
And we're doing the same thing with Walmart employees and across the board.
Walmart employees is another good example. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, where I saw this happening was in Walmart.
Yeah, fast food industry, the whole thing. Same thing, exactly. Yeah, they
exactly.
It's cheap, and first of all, they don't want to pay any benefits, so they'll deliberately schedule people below full-time basis. Only a few key people they've put on full-time. So they evade their corporate responsibility that way, and then they don't care. They just don't care. They want to eradicate all these beneficial programs, and at the same time, they don't want to pay them themselves. How greedy and how senseless and how stupid can you be?
This is no different than the turn of the century, the beginning of the early 1900s, and even into the 20s and 30s of non-union coal mines in West Virginia. It was nothing more than a form of economic enslavement.
Exactly.
These people are slaves to these corporations.
Yep, good point, good point. And, you know, we need a big change in this country, especially economically. This bullshit of 99% versus 1%, and only a portion of the 1%, they ought to say the fraction of a 1%, are making money hand over fist. They're keeping everybody down, and they're pulling money out of our pockets to do it. And they're cheating with their taxes. They're putting money overseas. They use our roads. They don't want to pay for them. They don't want to pay for anything. All they want to do is make money. This has got to stop.
Right. What is the 1% owns 98%? Of the wealth of this country? Is it something like that?
Well, I don't know if it's that extreme, but it is very extreme.
No, it's very high like that. It's maybe 95%. Maybe it's 95% of the wealth in this country, which means that 99% of the population on just 5% of the wealth of this country is left to fund all these other aspects of keeping the roads up, keeping the employees,
employees, the taxes,
our military, our police force, our emergency services.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you said,
I would like to point out, though, just throwing this in there, that, you know, the first U.S. stealth jet attack on Syria cost more than the Indian mission to Mars.
I know. Isn't it something?
Yeah, so you're right. Right. That one attack.
If the military might in this country, because the war machine is where the large companies profit.
Let's face it, it's graft. It's graft.
Yeah,
it's profits
graft.
For stockholders of military industrial complex, and a lot of people are making money off the misery and death of others, and it's not. It's war crimes is what it is.
Right.
Plain and
which
simple.
Comes full circle to what I was saying was, should India wake up and say, you know what, we're going to give everybody in our country electricity because we're going to give them solar panels or wind farms to give them electricity in all these rural areas of India.
They're
going to take over the whole global market of that type of market segment.
They're going to
do it cheaper and better.
There are even better systems available. There's the black box that's being tested out in California and in parts of India that, you know, can make a home self-generating. That was on 60 Minutes, and then it got quashed.
Was this the proton exchange membrane, the PEM fuel cell?
Yeah, it's the one with the ceramic
yes,
plate.
Yes. Well, the thing is, right, and matter of fact, it was in Google. Again, the engineer was from India. He's used to be, those plates were made out of plastic, and you had to get them from DuPont, and they were very expensive. This is when Dollar Fuel Cells were the leader in that in the early 2000s. Well, now they've got it where, they're making it out of silicon, and they work better and stuff. So, in other words, your raw material is sand. And Lord knows we have sand in this country.
Oh, everywhere. Yep, that's right.
Everywhere.
Yeah. So.
It's the quartz, and it's everywhere. It's abundant on the planet, but
exactly.
Yeah. But
well,
our
government and our finances have been so corrupted by the elitist, the elitist, highest income people in this country, just for their ease and their benefit, and they've been pampered way too long. And you know, they're just wasting our resources on profit. And what are they doing with their profit? Are they taking care of the community in which they live, or the state, or the country? No. They're salting it away overseas in tax havens, and they're not doing anything. They're the frivolous, absolutely idle, worthless rich. And you know what? That's not good for anybody. That's definitely not good for our country.
We're definitely in a plutocracy. There's definitely that influence.
Oh, no doubt.
But there are a lot of huge money or well-heeled, whatever you want to call them, the 1%, who are changing the pattern of their families.
Yes, that's good to hear about that.
Well, I was going to say Bill Gates and the Oracle of Oklahoma. Warren Buffett. No, not Warren Buffett.
What?
Yeah, Warren Buffett. Yeah, they're the ones returning their wealth and philanthropic aspects,
right?
Returning back to what they have gained in their lifetime.
And let's hope that becomes an avalanche that grows and grows and grows, because there is so much wealth out there. It's an astounding amount of wealth that we have just in our country. Across the world,
Jack,
there's even more.
No,
Jack, let me pose this question to you. Do you think Mitt Romney will get a social conscience and emulate Bill Gates?
I rather doubt it.
I could put money on that one, baby. I'll open up the bank and you let
me. I'm talking about the boardrooms of Standard Oil and Atlantic Richfield. The families there, the Rockefellers and who are the others?
Yeah, the Rockefellers walked away from it this past week. I couldn't believe it.
They are totally turning around how their companies produce profits. They have held on to the majority stock in those companies, if you can believe it. That makes
them
sold
all their holdings this past week in their oil
petrochemical. It's
incredible.
These things are also the positive aspects that we have to identify and put a spotlight on and say, hey, look, things are starting to change. There are
Let's hope that they invest it in wind energy, solar energy, and other forms of energy so that we can get off fossil fuels and quit polluting the planet.
They are focusing on alternative energy, but a lot of what they're focusing on right now, which we need so horribly bad, and they know it, is ways to regenerate and purify and like a salt tank, you know, re-equalize the oceans of the world. And I think that's absolutely outstanding, because the oceans are where our oxygen comes from, and folks just don't get it. You know, just don't get it. That education needs to get out there. It really does. People deforestation is horrible, but it is not doing what the killing of bathos is doing.
Yeah, Gwen, and this is, I know I sent this to both you and Jack earlier today, and for the listeners out there, this is like, as I've always said, I like to quote author Schopenhauer, said, truth goes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed, then it is vehemently opposed, and third is being accepted as being self-evident. Well, I think we're now in the third stage of this self-evident aspect with global climate change, because Google and many, and I understand now, Yahoo and stuff have all pulled their money that they were contributing to conservative think tanks and stuff like that.
Because
they know that these think tanks have been disseminating lies on climate change. And
lies
they said,
for profit only.
Yes, and they said, you know, bottom line is we have to make decisions in this country, political decisions and economic systems, decisions made on truth and facts,
and
not
based
these
on the common
manufactured
good.
Bullshit lies.
And based on the common good, not individual profit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's a
what
very
I'm
encouraging
saying.
Development.
We're seeing a big turnaround in this country on this subject.
Good. Let's keep it going, man. Let's keep
Absolutely,
it happening.
Jack.
Yep.
Absolutely.
No doubt. So it'll be fun to see how far it goes, and let's encourage the development of more of that rather than the quashing of it, you know.
Right. Well, yeah. Jack, I'll reiterate what you were saying was, now is the time to get out and vote.
Exactly. And, you know, it won't be one election. It might not even be five elections. But eventually, if enough people get off their dead ass and do something and either be an activist or do vote against, the first thing you got to do is vote against the very terrible reactionary forces that are out there right now. We have got to get rid of this horrible Tea Party. All they do is obstruct stuff. All they do is pollute the planet. All they do is they enable the rich people to make even more money because they're so damn ignorant and they're so stubborn and they won't go along with anything. Everything's got to be their way or the highway. I'm sorry. Yeah, right. That's not what democracy is all about.
The only way to get rid of these influences is to enlighten.
Take the money out of it.
Well, and to enlighten the public to get the truth out there, because most people have good common sense, you know, weights on either side. Most people do. I was going to ask you guys, what do you think about the resignation of Eric Holder?
Mixed legacy, I'd say.
I don't think he's done anything except sidestep the prosecutions he should have gone after. But why did this happen?
Well, let's talk about it. He should have prosecuted Bush and Cheney for war crimes. Didn't do it. He let it go. He should have jailed all those bankers on Wall Street that screwed up the economy. Didn't do it. He came from there. He didn't care. Let him have it. You know, he let the NSA go wild with all his crazy. This crazy invasion of privacy stuff they've been doing. He has not yet restored the writ of habeas corpus. You know, you can still be, if you're suspected of terrorism, you can still be locked up without anybody knowing about it and shipped off to Guantanamo. And, you know, it's just none of this has been changed. And you know what? That's horrible. Now, on the subject of voting rights, he's been good on that. But outside of that one topic, he hasn't done a damn thing.
Well, why did he resign? I never did get to that this week.
Oh, well, okay, I can, I mean,
not uncommon.
Pass over my thoughts on that. This is the, you know, second year of the last term of the last gasp of this administration. This is not out of the norm for those who have been in administrations before, and we can go from Reagan, even Nixon on stuff. Right now, it's like, okay, we've just won the Super Bowl kind of a mentality. It's now for me to go out and get the big contract from the private industry. He will end up with some lobbying firm, you know, so that, you know, his name's not really damaged as of yet, per se. And I can go out and I can get one of these other jobs paying a whole lot more on what I'm being paid now and cash in now on my
family. Yeah, he can hit the lecture circuit. He can teach. He can do all kinds of things.
He's
going to
cash in
now.
Right. And like I said, he's not the first one. He won't be the last one.
Oh, no,
this is not out of the norm.
No, not at all.
So
to stay in the cabinet in the second term for six full years, that's relatively long compared to a lot of cabinet members. A lot of them don't even survive one term. A lot of them, you know, resign for one reason or another or forced out due to scandal or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's very rare to see somebody go. Francis Perkins was the Department of Labor's secretary, or the Labor Secretary, during FDR's entire term. That is so rare. I think she holds the record for that. But most of them are out after a few years, and that's it.
So it's down to self-preservation, self-serving, and nothing at all to do with this was just the carpet that they walked in order to ensure their retirement.
I think you got it. That was well stated. That's the way I should have said it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. Plus, you know, he made waves as being the first black attorney general. So that was a notable achievement. But, you know, outside of that, he hasn't done a damn thing. He's protected those Wall Street buddies, and he hasn't done a damn thing.
That more marketable. Right. That just made him that much more marketable after it, because he was the first black one.
Yeah.
No, I don't hate to say this. I just observe what I think is the truth. And Barack Obama may have been the first half Afro-American to be elected to the highest office in the land, but he has not been a notably good president. He has achieved any, I mean, he's been one of the largest letdowns that...
I would agree. Yeah. We had so much hope at the beginning of 2009, and even with the concerted Republican and conservative efforts to bring him down, he didn't play his cards right. He was above politics. He is above interaction. You know, he should have browbeat those guys while he had the chance, like LBJ used to do. That's why LBJ, for all his mistakes in foreign policy, he was a great president. He got his domestic agenda passed.
Yeah, the Great Society stands on its own, and so does LBJ on that. But, you know, I can remember saying he was an asshole for carrying on the war too long.
Oh, exactly.
And
he lied.
But basically... I think of President Obama as nothing more than a corporate toady.
In many ways, you're very true.
Here's the taunt I like to give to those uber conservative Tea Party, you know, wing nuts, because you know you hear a lot. You know, all they're doing is, you know, it's always bashing Obama. I mean, I don't care what the subject is.
They hate him because he's black.
They hate him.
So the way
I taught him is, I said, look, he is the first black president. He brought us out of, and will be viewed as being bringing us out of the worst depression since the Great Depression. He led us out of that. And I said, there will be a time, maybe not in my lifetime, but definitely my daughter's lifetime, of you will see his image coined into, stamped into coins or printed on paper money.
Or a stamp, at least.
There will be a day when they lay down the keel of the new aircraft carrier, the USS Obama.
And of course, you just watch them
shake with anger and fear and with that thought all alone, right? It's like they don't know how to control themselves. And I love to throw that out there just to taunt them.
No, you know what? I'd never thought of that, but I think it's very accurate.
That is. Thank you.
I'm going to make this suggestion, gentlemen. I'm going to suggest that he laid it down on the job. He laid down for the coming generations, and he put them at peril, including his own children. And when you talk about the future is going to make him into a minted coin or paper money, paper money icon, I doubt if that system will be in place due to his inability to take action on the promises he made. That system will no longer be there to exploit his image at all.
Let's keep in mind here, once the president leaves office, it takes a little while, and then people start to look at him differently. We are on top of it. We're on top of everything that's going on all the time, but most people aren't. And after a while, look at what they've done with Ronald Reagan. They've turned him into an icon, something that he never was. They've made him into a mythical hero figure, and the guy was a junk president.
I agree with you there, Jack.
And the same thing will happen with Obama. They'll make him be what he wasn't.
I don't think society will resemble anything like what you see, what is right now. I don't think this society has long to stand simply because we're headlong rushing into its extinction. That's just the truth, guys. Come on.
I'm not that pessimistic. I believe that at the last minute we'll pull something out. We always seem to manage to do that.
Like Lincoln said, you can pull some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you're not going to pull all the people all the time.
Very true.
And I think, in my opinion, is people at one point in time, when things get to a stratification level, they're going to say, oh, change this shit, change it now. And if you don't change it, then we can pull out the guillotine, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. You know what, guys? What I'm saying is that time is already here. And that nobody is looking around to see it clear enough. But the camera.
Well, you're starting to see people coming out of the woodwork in reaction. Look at New York City, for God's sake.
400,000 in New York City said we've had enough of this.
People, and, you know, hundreds and thousands of people showed up. That's something.
Well, that's what I mean.
I think so.
The same system won't be here because.
That's what I see what you're saying. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's got to go. There's no doubt about it. It's too corrupted.
Right. Well, and it's going to come down to the every man for themselves with a loose contingency of, systemization because it's going to have to go to self-sustaining communities.
Mm-hmm.
That's the logical step for survival, and that's being voted out of MIT, everywhere from MIT to the Russian universities and think tanks and manufacturing. I mean, this is the MSM has got us, and me included and you included, we are bulldozed. I would rather think that we're going to save ourselves, that we wouldn't allow it to happen. The point is, though, that the numbers are saying something completely different right now. And if we wake up and look at it soberly, well, gee, I mean, what's left but to keep
doing
it?
Well, you know, Gwen, keep in mind, mass movements take a long time to develop. Look at the huge, huge change we've seen in people's attitudes just since the beginning of Occupy. You know,
exactly.
Woke up a lot of people, and they're still out there, and they're still active, they're going to be active, and they've opened their eyes, and they've seen. Wait a minute, this is not right. You know.
Well, I'm a member of an Occupy group that still holds workshops in this area, especially.
Good for you. That's great.
But the point is that most people. You know, that catalyst number that we have to get to, it comes down to this. A lot of people, and this is what Tricia was going on and on about last Sunday, Wayne. It's going to the modification of our resources has come to the point where they've squeezed the blood out of so many people that the catalyst event is in the air. And with all of these wars going on and so many people on the ground with so many weapons, something is up. I mean, we're getting close to that catalyst event.
I think so.
Gosh knows what it's going to be. I don't even want to speculate.
We hope there aren't too many victims and there isn't too much bloodshed, but there undoubtedly will be some of both. Let's hope that it's at a minimum, but let's hope that it is something that really does herald a newer age. You know, we're never going to achieve perfection. We're humans, and we screw up. Let's face it, we always do.
And that's part of our journey. We have to have our highs, our lows.
Exactly.
And the wrong, we have to be wrong to learn right. We have to be bad to learn good. We have to be dark to be the light.
And when we settle into something that's comfortable and we think we're going to cruise with it for a while, invariably we've neglected something else. So it's human nature. It's the way things are. But let's hope that we do emerge from this with a period of sustained highs, you know, so that
Winston Churchill. He says, Americans will always do the right thing. Problem is they try everything else first.
The thing is,
I like the idea of, and I agree with you, and I think this will be the future of this country. We'll still be a country. We will still be in our unity here, but it would be the sustainable communities, the pockets the energy generation, the resources, and these kind of an aspect.
The energies of the people.
And you know what, guys? The people who are in power and the masses who keep empowering corruption, they are swayed by the promotion and manufacture of endless series of national security crises. This is why we're bombing again.
Oh, yeah, the chicken little effect, right. The sky is always falling somewhere.
Yeah, right, and it's always somebody else's fault. We never had anything to do with it.
And there, and I said deliberate manufacture.
Exactly.
I think this is what is
like
going
Naomi
on.
Naomi Klein.
Yeah, it's basically what we're watching happen right now. Sure, there's a group of people. Let me ask you a question. You guys are pretty on the ground, pretty common sense. How the hell is, as the MSM and the White House has been promoting this line, how is this group ISIL enabling sales of petroleum for cash to pay all these people off? Who are they selling it to? Who would buy from them? Who would even...
Well, they have customers. There's no doubt about it.
I was going to say, that oil will be sold through Russian interests, through Turkey... make its way.
Turkey is engaged in an war with them. Turkey is engaged in an active war with them, and they don't need the oil resources that they've laid claim to in Iraq. They've interrupted only the fuel going out of Iraq to certain people who are no longer buying it because of the UN. Who are they selling it to? Are they selling it to Russia?
Probably China.
I was going to say, China has no conscience. They could get rid of They can load it up at any port.
Wouldn't we be hearing about it?
When is the last time you heard a report about the Chinese military? They've been building that up for years, and there's only tiny little drops that come out about that. They're going to challenge us in the Pacific someday. And I hope it's not my lifetime.
And then I've been saying that for many years. I said, you know, this enabling and building up a China, we're, you know, again, breeding our own dog that's going to fight us. Because just as Japan was wanting the influence of that Asian area, the Philippines, all the way down to Australia. Matter of fact, Australia has asked the United States to build more bases, naval, Air Force, Army bases, for what they are going to project as an imminent threat coming from the Chinese mainland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, their Navy is now challenging us openly in those Pacific waters in the South China Sea.
They're developing a space program?
Exactly.
There's all kinds of stuff. We just don't hear about it. It doesn't serve the corporate media's wherewithal to be able to feature on that stuff. They're too busy covering bullshit like celebrities and nonsense like that. You know,
right,
they don't give us the real news.
Right. Well, here's the other thing, too. There's always be some black market, underworld, unscrupulous person to buy that oil from ISIL. And then once they get it into the open market, I guarantee you Halliburton will have no conscience about buying that little bit cheaper oil from the black market, be there Arabs or Chinese or
they
Indian
probably
or,
already are buying it.
And that's what I'm saying. This is probably really the path that it's taking.
Yep.
It's going through black market things, being cleaned up by, you know, changing hands here and there on paperwork, and then somebody like Halliburton or Texaco or BP or one of those will turn around and buy it because they have a plausible deniability of having clean hands in this issue.
Sure, yeah.
That's the way it's
going.
Keep
your eyes on Dick Cheney. He'll be a key guy to watch.
Or on them are purchasing and enabling the sales that keep them supplied with...
As long as they have a profit involved, they don't give a damn who they're aiding or who they're abetting. They don't give a damn at all. They want profit, and they want it right now. That's what's guiding these people.
Okay, and so that's why we're not hearing who's actually doing the buying that's keeping the cash in the pockets of the terrorists that we're bombing.
Yeah, it boggles the mind. You know, if we only knew. All we can do is speculate.
What a fucking monkey trip this is.
I know, isn't this insane?
Monkey trip. I like that. That's going to be the word for this week. Monkey trip.
Makes you want to hang from a vine somewhere and just chee, 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 you know?
Yeah, I got to tell you something, guys. The monkeys are more...
civilized and peaceful.
Humans have become human, especially the male leadership characters are just absolutely savage these days. I mean, it's all about the dollars and the kougarans and the rubles and the
let's not just pin it on the males. Granted, most of them are in positions of power. But look at Hillary Clinton. Look at the head of GM.
Yeah, let's look at it. You're absolutely right, Jack. You're absolutely on the money.
So, you know, it's part of humanity. Unfortunately, at this point in time, mostly males run most things. And they're not doing that great a job, let's face it. I'll be the first guy to admit it.
It's a patriarchal experience right now.
Exactly.
There are, as you say, plenty of women leaders who have gotten into the patriarchal trap.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I am not a sexist in any way, shape, or form. The feminine genetics can also be just as corrupt as the male genetics.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's there's not many people in the healing arts, are there? It's just abuse and demolish. But the thing is, keeping the information going out there, raising the questions we do with conversation here and on many little shows that are out there, I looked at the statistics today, and the Sunday show, since it's been running, has been listened to independently by over, I guess, I can't, wait a minute, I got the number, hang on here. Over 372,141 people.
Awesome. That's great.
Wait a minute. That is worth repeating to make sure that my old brain here has comprehended that. Please repeat that one more time.
372,000 independent people have, over the years, over the last couple of years, have listened to the show at one time.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Guys, thank you, everybody. This is big applause from F. Wayne Johnson.
Yep.
We'd love to have you. Spread the word. Those are numbers that I never thought, I could have never imagined that this little show would have reached.
And let's dissect it just a little bit here. Some are obviously trolls. We don't care about them.
Right.
But, and a number of other people wince and once or twice and don't come back. But there are a lot of regular listeners, and there are a lot of people that actually absorb the thought-provoking topics that we bring up, and they think about it, and we're getting them to think and to examine and to know more. Knowledge is power, and that's what we're trying to foster.
Well, Jack, I'm going to take a positive spin here and say, I don't care if the trolls are listening. I want the trolls to listen, because when they start talking about how terrible and we are, then someone else is going to hear about it, and they're saying, I think I better check this out, because if he doesn't like it, I know he's an asshole. I'm going to check these people out. Yes, well, trolls, please tell everybody you hate us. You know, the only press, you know, if you're going to, I don't care what kind of press you give me, as long as you spell my name right. It's F. Wayne Johnson. Thank you.
Well put.
Francis. Yeah, the F is for Francis. Right. Just like,
well,
an F Scott Fitzgerald.
Gwen, we've got to say, Gwen, you have done a tremendous job. I can't remember.
Oh, yes.
How many years have I been with you now? 4 or 5 years?
We've been doing it for 5 years.
Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
It seems like yesterday we first started, and I know it's grown. And it's been always topical. It's always been relevant. It's always been informative. It's always been a joy the entire time. And I hope it does some good. I think it will do some good eventually in the bigger sense of the word. I'm sure it will.
You know,
yes.
It's the pebble in the pond, and it always makes a difference. I have to say that I realize that, well, on the live listens, we get very few, actually. Then again, it jumps up sometimes, depending on what I put out there on the title, I think.
Oh, we've got the archive that's living
but
and breathing and still there.
The archive on iTunes and on Blog Talk Radio is where people will go and listen to things. And the point is that you know, you can't, I don't mean to sound downbound train here anytime, ever. I do think that we need to look at the plain numbers and the way things are going. You guys were talking about China and how we have a comeuppance with them coming on. Well, yeah, but there's over 70,000 students in the streets there right now. They've got their own stuff to handle. I think that humanity is coming to a cataclysmic point, a trigger point. And I don't think that it's going to be easy, but I don't think that humanity is going down for the count either.
No. We've got to make sure that that doesn't happen. We've got to do all we can to prevent that. So that's why we're on the air, and that's why we keep on blogging on and keep on going. So with that in mind, I'm going to leave and bid adieu. I'm going to try and get a hold of the Seattle City Council member and get her invited to our program so that she can explain what she's been doing and the successes she's had for the benefit of the working poor and the middle class in America. And let us hope that people will take that as a revealing type of an inspiring type of thing that they can deal with and implement in their own way in their own lives.
There you go.
Very good, Jack.
And
I think you bring her on.
Yeah, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get in touch with her.
That'll be quite a clear, Jack.
We are at the top of the hour. I'd like to invite folks to go on over to PNN, Progressive News Network. I'm coming up right after this show. I'm one of the guest panelists, and there's an open discussion this evening. Several of the progressive members of the Democratic Party and the progressives in the state of Florida and in the southeast of the country. So join us over there with Rick Spezak on Progressive News Network. That's the new Mercury Media channel here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank the sponsors of this program, Roundtree 7, that's the number 7.com, a blog where you'll find knowledge to the social consciousness. I want to thank Jack Jodell and F. Wayne Johnson for, again, joining me here, as we do every Sunday, for the Sunday show.
Keep pushing forward.
And it's been my pleasure, and let's keep expanding and growing and let your friends know. There we go.
That's right. Tell everybody about it. That's right. Have a great week, everybody, and keep pushing forward. And thank you, Gwen. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.